In the name of Jesus, I yield myself totally unto you, spirit, soul, and body. I do not depend upon my own intellect, nor my own ability. I'm trusting in the Spirit of God to rise up and live big within me. Satan, we remind you that you are bound. You'll not hinder the word, nor any from receiving the word, but also hear, understand, and be blessed and benefited thereby. Thank you, Heavenly Father, that the Spirit of God is my teacher. Thank you that the Holy Spirit brings all things to my remembrance, whatsoever you said unto me in your word. In Jesus' name I pray. And the church said amen. Well, welcome again to our evening Bible study. We appreciate you live streaming and you that are home, our partners, covenant, and friend. Of course, you know on Sunday morning, I'm going to always encourage you, if you're anywhere in the Triad area, or even in another state, we have members from all over. Praise God. Get in on Sunday morning, 10 a.m. worship, and then the live service at 11. Thank you for your tithes, your offerings, and your continued support in prayer. All right, let's get right into the word. Those of you that have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to Romans chapter 8. I want to teach from a subject that is dear to my heart. I want to call this developing faith in your Heavenly Father. Developing faith in your Heavenly Father. I don't know if you realize that when people say God, and then when people say Father, there's two type of images that come up. And you know, when we get saved, Jesus Christ saved us, but he had a father. And he had a relationship with the Father. And there are a lot of people that really don't have any relationship or faith in the Father. When you say God, have faith in God, it's no real image come up. And when you say have faith in the Father, dependent on the relationship that individual had with their natural father, it could be abusive image. It could be no image at all, because they maybe had an absentee father. It could be one of, animosity. And so I found out it's hard for people to have faith in their Heavenly Father if they have had a bad relationship with the earthly father. And so they, you know, God, we can hide behind that, but I want to teach about having faith in your Heavenly Father. Now, the reason this struck my spirit is simply because I look at Jesus and I read the gospel, particularly the gospel of St. John. And you'll see all through there, Jesus refers to his father all the time. In my father's house are many mansions. I and my father are one. I came not to do my own will, but the will of the Father that sent me. The words I speak, I'm not. It's almost like they're buddies. And I realize a lot of people don't see the Father as their buddy. That's personal. And that's the type of relationship that you need to build with your Heavenly Father to have faith in him. I mean, Jesus himself always prays about, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name. Look at that relationship. I know you know who God is, but how much confidence do you have in your Father? It's got to become personal. A caring Father, not just God. When you say God, and we kind of get this big image of the sky, and we think about a movie where this big cloud, maybe God is. No, we're talking about your Heavenly Father. I want the same relationship. I want a buddy with God the same way Jesus buddied and was a friend to his Father. Praise God. So here we go. Romans chapter 8. And then we're going to look at here. Let's start with verse 14 through 16. Verse 14 says this. It says, for many are led by the Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. And when we say sons of God, we are talking about relationship more than gender. So many are led by the Spirit. They're the sons and the daughters of God. It's about relationship, not just gender. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, what's this? Abba, Father. Abba, Father. God put a spirit in each one of us when we got born again. It wasn't a spirit of fear. God has not given us a spirit of bondage again to fear, but a spirit that cries, Abba, Father. That's personal. That's different than just God. There are a lot of people you say have faith in God. They don't know how to direct their faith because God is just this blasé image. But he said, we got a spirit that cries, Abba, Father. How much faith do you have in your Father? Amen. A caring, loving father. That's personal. And like I said, what happens is our mind go to our relationship. The only revelation or the image most of us get from about God as our father is based off of the relationship we've had with our earthly father. There are a lot of people who never knew their earthly father, abused by their earthly father, or he was absent in their life. And so that's why we got to have faith. So when you get born again and you don't get this revelation, it's hard to have faith in a heavenly father. Amen. That can be an image, the wrong image that can cause a hindrance. And so he said, there's a spirit that cries, Abba, Father. You know, this word Abba, Father in the Greek is more personal word. It literally means daddy. That's what Abba means, daddy, my daddy. Now we're really getting there. Daddy. You better leave my daddy alone, me alone, because my daddy gets you. You remember when you have faith in your father? And you knew that you might couldn't beat someone, but I'll go tell my daddy. See, that's the type of relationship that I want to teach on here. He says, and watch this, and look at verse 16. For the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. A lot of people have a distorted image of the Heavenly Father, and we can say God based off of lack of revelation of what I'm teaching here. That's why I'm teaching this. Look at this from Amplified. For many are led by the sons of the Spirit of God are led by the sons of God. Now, when God's Spirit comes in our heart, we're born again. He take out a stony heart. He puts a new spirit in us. Verse 15. For the Spirit which you have received, us, we can say us, we've now received, is not a spirit of slavery once again to put us in bondage of fear. That's before we got born again. We were slaves to sin, slaves to drugs. We were addicted. We had the nature of the devil. And he said, when we got born again, it wasn't that spirit. That was taken out. But you received the spirit of adoption, the spirit producing sonship, daughtership. Remember, we're talking about relationship, not just gender. In the bliss of which we cry, Abba, Father. That word Abba means daddy. That is personal. And I want to bring out something before we go to move from this. The spirit of adoption. In Hebrew culture, when a child was adopted, see, we got grafted in. We are not Jews by nature. We know the chosen people were Jews. But God, to make the Jews jealous, thank God, Peter finally got the revelation. Paul had it that Gentiles, praise people without God, could be born again. And when we got born again, it's like we was adopted into the family of God. And in Hebrew culture, when a family adopted a son or daughter, it was as though, and by law, the adopted son had the same rights as the firstborn. He wasn't a lesser, he was more. He had the, I mean, you know, hey, if the firstborn had a good room, if the firstborn owned a horse, if the firstborn owned that, he immediately inherited all of that. And so when we got born again, everything that the Father has become ours. We have an inheritance. We've inherited peace, joy. We've inherited, praise God, deliverance. We've everything that the Father has. See, this is the revelation that the two sons, you remember the two sons? We call them the prodigal. And the one who left really wasn't as bad as you thought. He got out there messed up, and yet he came back and said, I will go back to my father's house. And as a slave, he said, no, you're my son. Go get the fatted calf. Go get the, let's have a party. My son was lost and now I found he's come home. But the other son got mad, wouldn't come in. Because he had no revelation of it. He said, my God, I've never went out and partied and got high and did all this stuff and did drugs and you never threw me a party. He said, my son, everything I have is yours. He could have had it any time. He had it in hers, but he had no revelation of it. He was living like an orphan in his own father's house. So I want you to change the image. Your God wants to bless you. He's going to take care of you. There's a spirit in you that when you get in trouble, when there's a bill, when sickness and disease hits your body, when you're facing adversity and your enemy, something you're not alone. It cries, Abba, I got a daddy. My daddy's powerful. Amen. And he's, the earth is the Lord's. My dad, in the fullness thereof. Once you get a revelation of the Father, your faith can grow in your heavenly Father. And look at this last verse. And God says, just in case you don't know, that's why the Holy Spirit came in. He said, the Spirit, Holy Spirit himself, doth testifies together with your own reborn spirit, assuring us that we are children of the Almighty God. Holy Spirit is a witness. That's why when two born again people come together, I don't care, they're different continents. It'll be a spirit in them that testify, hey, man, your dad is my dad. Oh, you born again too? Man, don't we have a good father? Hallelujah. Praise God. So with that said, I want to make this statement. Then God puts in his children a spirit that cries, Abba, Father, Daddy. I'm going to put that word out there, Daddy. Because, you know, Daddy and even Father are two different images. Daddy is personal. Give me some of that candy, Daddy. Daddy, will you give me a nickel, Daddy? I remember that. That, you know, I never said, Father, can I have a honey bun? It was always Daddy. Well, because I knew he loved me. I knew he cared for me. And I knew I belonged. My last name is Diggs, just like him. Most of the time, we didn't even ask. If he bought it home on Friday, we just went in and we knew it was for us. We weren't like orphans. And God wants you to have that same freedom and assurance that you could come boldly before the throne of grace without fear. You know, our Father loves us. He's our daddy. He's my daddy. Amen. Some of you just know him as Father, but you know, there's another level in Revelation. Daddy, that's my daddy. Galatians 4, 5, and 6. Yeah. Jesus did this to purchase the freedom of and to ransom and to redeem and atone for those who were subject to the law, that we might be adopted. There it is again. Adopted. Remember, privileges of the firstborn. To have sonship conferred upon us and be recognized as God's sons and daughters. And because you were really, watch this, because you are really are his sons and daughters, God has sent the Holy Spirit of his son into our hearts. There it is again, crying, Abba, Daddy, 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 Daddy. There's a yearning. It should be a yearning in you to know you'll have a crying what? Daddy, Abba, Father. I remember watching a movie. Some of you might watch it called Antoine Fisher's Story. And, Denzel Washington was in it. And it's one of my favorite stories because it's all about a boy that was abused in his childhood, and he was trying to overcome all the abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, verbal abuse, all types of abuse he had had coming up in this neighborhood. And you know, of course, he had joined the Navy, I think it was, and, you know, Denzel was one of his commanding officers, and he was trying to help the boy overcome some of his handicaps of the past abuse. And it finally boiled down to this. Denzel told him, he said, look, you're going to have to go back and you're going to have to go to your father. You need to go back. I don't know what happened. I don't know what did this, if he's still alive. Well, no, this happened in my father's house, and this happened in my father. And until he went back and reconciled things with his father, that's where the healing began. Because it was so much devastation in his past. And I think what has happened, we have roadblocks to God because of human relationships. And until you understand your Heavenly Father loves you, you don't have to fear him. Listen, if you were adopted, do you mean that? That means you was, we'll get into this, you was an orphan and you were chosen. You weren't even born to these people. You don't even know who they're. They came to an orphan and they seen you and said, I want you. You had no money. You had no home, you had no clothes, you had nothing, no advantages. And for someone to say, I want you, that means they love you first. God adopted us. There's a spirit that cries, Abba, Father, praise God. Let's get the definition orphan so we can, as we move in this, we'll understand more the love that God has. So, man, often all of a sudden he's, you know, this old, you know, he's getting this same slop food every day, because most orphanages are not as nice as you think. He's wearing secondhand ragged clothes, whatever, you know, missions in, and he lives in fear. Many of them are being abused by people right there in the orphanage. You know, there are no protections. And so, you know, all of a sudden he's adopted and he's taken home, and he goes in this house and he's got his own bedroom, a television, sheet, a stove, and this. I mean, his life has changed. We have an inheritance. That's how your Heavenly Father wants you to think about him. Definition of an orphan: a child who has no parents, friends, or inheritance. A child who has no parents, friends, or an inheritance. Most of them are abused. Most orphans live in fear of their lives because they were unwanted, abused, obviously rejected. They always wonder, who is my real parents? And just like that Anton Fisher story, he began to cry out. There was something in him. And it doesn't matter. Even most kids that have been adopted, somewhere in their life, there's something that says, I still want to know who my real daddy, who my real mom, who are my real parent, who's my real father. Praise God. And so thank God, God loves you and I. And he wants to give you and I every advantage there is, because we have an inheritance in him. Now that we understand that, let's look at St. John's Gospel, chapter 14. I found out right quick, I read the Gospels, and like I said, particularly how the Gospel of St. John is written and how Jesus talked about his father. All through that, I mean, it's almost one chapter that he's not saying something about his father. It's like there's a relationship there. It wasn't just God. It was like, that's my daddy. He loves me and he backs me. This commandment I received of my father: go ahead, destroy this temple, but I raise it up after 3 days and three nights. My life is mine to lay down, is mine to give. This commandment I received of my father. I dare you to read the book of St. John again in the light of what I'm teaching. And you'll see a strong relationship. And you're going to find out that was the key to victory in Jesus' ministry. Faith in his heavenly father. Understanding that there's a spirit that cries, Abba. Look at St. John's Gospel. Look at chapter 14. And we're going to start with verse 15. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. It'll read a little different. If you got the Amplified, turn to it. If not, just stay with your King James. It'll read a little different. If you really love me, Jesus said, you will keep and obey my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another comforter, counselor, helper, intercessor, advocate, strengthener, and standby. Look at all of those superlatives about what God will be to you, your father. He wants to comfort you, counsel you, help you. It's amazing how many people fear God that got the wrong image of the father. This needs to be taught, because I know people, when you say God, they think about this big guy in the sky waiting on them to do something wrong, and he's going to bust them in the head with a hammer. That is because they've got that wrong image from the pulpit. Yet it says here, he says he'll be your advocate. That means attorney at law. Strengthener, when you're weak, stand by. And watch this. That he will remain with you. When the Father comes, he will remain with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, welcome. Take him to heart, because they see him and they know. They does not see him, neither do they know or recognize him. But you know and recognize him. Well, he lives within you constantly and will be in you. Listen to what he said. I will not leave you orphans. See, I'm going away. But the Father going to always be with you. He's going to come back. And on the day of Pentecost, who was that that came? God sat on them. He said, you're not going to be an orphan. Comfortless, desolate, bereaved, forlorn, uh, helpless. I done colored my Bible so much, some words I can't see. I will come back to you. In other words, you're not going to be, you will not be without a father. That's what he's saying. You will not be without a father. God says, I quote you, fear not then, for I will not leave you orphans without a father. He said, I'm going to come back to you. How? I'm going to dwell in you and talk to you. I'll be your comforter. I'll be your helper. I'll be your guide. I'll be everything that you need me to be because I'm your heavenly father. Praise God. Now we need to start developing faith in our daddy. He's my daddy, praise God. He's my heavenly father. And he said he, when he's come, he would abide with you forever. Some people feel like God had left them. Well, my father, I just don't feel God. I don't feel God. I've been in service Sunday. I didn't feel God. I didn't feel, most of the time, they've done something wrong. They let the devil condemn them, and they're waiting on some type of feeling to change. God is not with you because you feel like he's with you. God is with you because he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'm going to leave you an orphan. I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I am the fourth man in the fire. I'm the one who shows up. When things get turned up in your life, trust me. Now, of course, you know, there again, the Father, Jesus. But what's if he asks the Father in my name? That the name of Jesus is the name we use that's in between to the Father. No man can come to the Father. See, Jesus is always deferring to the Father. And there are a lot of people who have no revelation of that. Except through me. You can't come to the Father. Praise God. So you need to, I dare you just start calling him daddy. Somebody, and then he'll become personal. He'll become real and not this kind of guy, this foggy guy in the sky, big guy, and all these Hollywood images of God. You know, sometimes God, daddy, I need money this week. Daddy, I need my car payment. Daddy. Some of you, but that's what Abba means. Daddy. He's my daddy. Hallelujah. He loves me. He cares for me. He's my helper, my stand guy, my standby, my advocate, my attorney at law. He's all these things to me. Praise God. So God is saying, fear not. I'll not leave you like you don't have a father. God says, listen to this quote. I will manifest myself. Remember he said, I'll come back to you. I will manifest myself to you and make myself real. You know why God is not real, the Father's not real? Because some people just think he's God. And we say God, we know that there's a God. Sinners believe there's a God going to hell. Alcoholics, drug addicts, everybody. It's not personable. You got to know him as Father, Daddy. That's when, that means relationship. God is a generic word the whole world uses. The big guy in the sky, God, God. Rappers use God. Everybody, I've seen people rap about God and God. And I'm not saying anything wrong. I'm just saying that we're talking about developing faith in daddy, your heavenly father. He says, I'm going to come back and manifest myself and make myself real. And most people, they that's why they backslide, because they don't feel like they have a real relationship with God. They don't, they base it off of a feeling. I can't feel God. And the revelation you're going to get of your father is going to come out of the word. That's why I'm teaching this. St. John 14. Same chapter, drop down verse 22 and 23 and a half. Look what it says. He said, now at that time, when that day come, you will know for yourself that I'm in the Father. He said, what does this got to do with me? Keep reading. You are in me and I'm in you. Me, you, and the Father all together. We got a family. Relationship. Keep going. He says here, and the person who has my commandments, keep them, the word of God, is the one who really loves me. And whoever really loves me will be loved by my Father. God, the Father loves you. No, Daddy. Spirit that cries, Abba, Father. And he too will love him and show, reveal, manifest. He said, listen, and will manifest myself to him. I will let that sink in, be clearly seen by him and make myself real to him. He said, I'll manifest myself. You know, a lot of people beyond church and what they feel when I preach, they don't have no revelation of the Father. Why? He's not manifest in their home. Man, God is in my house. God is in my kitchen. He walks and he talks. He's real to me. He's just like I'm talking to you tonight. If I was talking to an individual, if I went to the banker talking to the teller, was at the grocery store talking to, that's how God is. And he's not real because people don't have that relationship. Jesus had this thing. Him and God ran together. I'm a father, we're one, man. He talked to the Father. He'll minister all day and go up into the mountains and talk to his Father. He was real. This is why a lot of people backslide and have left church, because God ain't real to them, because they're waiting on the feeling. But the only revelation you're going to get of the Father is out of the Word. That's why I'm teaching this. And then he goes on to make this magnificent statement. Judas Iscariot asked him, okay, how is it that you're going to reveal yourself, make yourself real to us and not to the world? Because, see, the world had no revelation. People cuss, use his name in vain, GD this, GD that. They don't even realize that same God is the Father. The Bible says he's good to the just and the unjust. It's just the mercy of God that the sinners are even alive. And Jesus answered and said, if a person really, really loves me, he will keep my word, obey my teachings, and my Father will love him. And watch this. We will come to him and make our home, our bold, special dwelling place with them. Let that sink in. He said, we're going to move in. We're going to come to, listen, when the Father moves in, when Jesus, listen, your needs going to be met. God's not going to be around poverty. He's going to, if God manifests himself in your home, sickness got to go, because sickness can't stay where God is. If God manifests himself in your home, lack got to go, because only abundance and provision is where God is. If God manifests himself in your home tonight, you keep his word, then that depression got to go. Why? Because you can't be depressed where God is. All that stuff has to leave. Just his very presence drive it away. Sickness, disease, life, all those things. And this is how God makes himself real. But the only way God can become real to you is through what I'm teaching, the word of God, relationship. You got to be like Jesus. That's my daddy. They walked together. They talked together. Think about that. Outside of ministers and the people, when he would depart in the evening, he would spend hours all night with his Father. And he was real. And that's why he had so much faith, that when the wind and the waves was coming against him, he would speak to it, because he knew his Father would back the word. When even a dead man, Lazarus, had been dead for a day, he knew his Father would raise him up. He talked, you know, matter of fact, in that same story I'm talking about, they said, oh my God, you mean even Lazarus, could he bring even, they was down. He said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me and you always hear me. Look at that confidence in his daddy. Where does that come from? Time with him. You're going to develop faith in the Father. You're going to have to spend time in the Word. How are you going to have faith with anybody? You got to know what they said. Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you don't know what God said, how are you going to have faith in him? I'm just trusting God to heal my body. Well, what has God said that, well, I just heard he's healed. That ain't good enough. You got to start giving me the healing scriptures. He's the Lord thy God that healeth thee. He said he'll take sickness and disease. That's how you develop faith in him. You got to know him for yourself. You can't just go, I can spark you and inspire you. My God, Pat, that message. But that's the jump start you to develop your own relationship. Get back in church. Get under this anointed word. God will become real to you. He's real to me. You know, when you sing that song in the Baptist church, I remember that. Yes, God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. He ain't real just because of that. Yes, God is real. God is real to me. We used to sing that song, and a lot of people, and anything that ain't real, you will eventually forsake. You say, man, that church stuff, that's cause people come and they develop, they met church folks, but they never met God. And that's where people get offended and get hurt, wounded. But God says, we'll move in, man. I want to move into your house. I want to cancel your debts. Hallelujah. I want to bless your marriage. I want to move on your children. Bring them on in. When God moves in, your house will get in order. Huh? You remember Zacchaeus who climbed to that tree? He said, come down, Zacchaeus, for this day I'm going to abide in your house. And boy, that day his whole house got in order. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, God knows how. And it's all through this relationship with the Word of God. As you seek to know the Father, seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things shall be added. So God will manifest himself. Now, I want you to look with me at Luke's Gospel, chapter 12. And we're talking about developing faith in your heavenly Father. Daddy. It's my daddy. My daddy loves me. My daddy loves me. Am I right all the time? No, but my daddy loves me. And when I'm wrong, he loves me. He is love. It's a little deeper revelation, and it should be a spirit in your heart crying, Daddy. That's what Abba means. Daddy, I got a daddy. Forget about just cancel, cast down your relationship, a lack of relationship, because when you say that, I know what happened to all of this natural image of you. Cast that down and just meditate. Let your mind go on everything I'm teaching about that daddy. Because you might didn't even know your natural dad, but he wants to be a daddy to you now. When you get born again, let me tell you something. The Bible says we're born of God. When it says we're born of God, it says we partake of his divine nature. Do you know when you get born again, you got as much as DNA of God in you than your natural father? Because that is flesh, but that is spirit is spirit. We were born of the Spirit, praise God. Hallelujah. Connected to him. His nature, the Zoe, life of God. The same life he breathed into Adam when he was in the Garden of Eden. He breathed. When we got born again, that same life, he breathed his DNA. Praise God. But this only come by time and the work. And I recognize the relationship I saw Jesus had with his Father is not the relationship a lot of Christians have with their Heavenly Father, because they lack understanding. I'm not an orphan. I got a daddy. He cares for me. I can talk to him anytime, and he takes time to listen. So what you first hurdle to a lot of people is destroying that stronghold image of that bad relationship you might have had with your father, a lack of relationship because you never knew him. Only God can put the characteristics in you that you need. Praise God. Hallelujah. Now, look at Luke's gospel. And we're going to look at chapter 12. Luke's gospel, chapter 12. Let me see the book of Luke. Chapter 12. And let's look at verse 29 through 32. From the King James, it said, and seek not what you're going to eat, what you're going to drink. Now, this is Matthew's 6 version, Matthew 6, 33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all those things shall be added. This is Luke's version of that. Seek not what you're going to eat or what you're going to drink, neither be of doubtful mind. Man, I'm telling you, it's hard out here, man. And they're talking about layoff. They're talking about, foreclosing on the house. Don't be a doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations, Matthew's version says the Gentiles mean those without God. So those without God, he said, all those things they seek after. But you're not like them. They got a father, but it's not God. Jesus taught this. He talked to the most religious men of his day, scribes and Pharisees. He said, yo, you are your father, the devil. You ain't got the nature of God, because if you would have known God, you would know me. You got devil. You seek to kill me. He said, your father is the devil, and the lust of your father you going to do. Boy, I know they got mad. That no wonder they wanted to kill him. Yet the most religious men of the long roads, scribes, Pharisees, beautiful cuts, praying long prayer. He said, man, you're inside, you're full of dead men bone. So he said, you got the world and their God, who is the God of this world, Satan. Then you got the born again children of God that's been adopted, brought into the kingdom. And we have a heavenly father, he said, but your, make it personal. You could say your daddy. Your father knoweth that you have need all these things. So don't even worry about that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Get in church. Open your Bible. Get CDs, DVDs. Teaching, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. That's the revelation you're going to get of your father. And as you seek the kingdom of God, all those other things will be added to you. And then he make this powerful statement. Fear not, and I love this, little flock. He calls us flock. He goes to the shepherd mentality. I'm responsible for you. I'm the good shepherd that lay down my life for the sheep. Praise God. I feed my sheep. They go in and out and they find pasture. My sheep know my voice. He said, fear not, little flock. For your heavenly father, it is his good pleasure to give you everything in the kingdom. He's not trying to hold anything back from you. It's his pleasure. Same way any father, as a father, it's a joy to bless my own children. Man, I remember when Tori was in school. He was going to school at NC State. And we wish him well, by the way, in the tournament. Because I'm glad they beat Carolina. Because I like Carolina, but they were going to be a number one seed anyway. But I remember when he was at State. And he worked. That's one thing I taught my kids, that nobody owe you anything, right? They worked, applied for scholarship. They did all that. Then what? The scholarships didn't pay. We have to pay back. Then praise God. That's where my father came in. So they didn't, it ain't about taking advantage of father, but it's knowing that he loves me. And I remember Tor, he was working and something happened on his job and he needed his books and he wasn't going to get paid. And so he had to buy his book for the next quarter. And he called me and said, Dad, can you lend me $300 until next week? Because my check happened. I didn't get my money this week, and I need to get my books to start next quarter. I said, yeah. I said, you know, well, he said, well, just put it in the account. He gave me his account number, his bank there in the Raleigh, you know, their state. And so, boy, you always calling here for money. You think money grow on trees? Who you think I am? Boy, okay, Dad. No. See, that's the attitude we done had toward God. Like he's trying to hold something back. It's his good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Matter of fact, I had so much pleasure. Praise God. That I not only put three, I doubled it. I just sent 600. I knew you were going to send up 300. And 600. Just in case you need something else. Just in case something else goes, it gave me pleasure. God has pleasure in our prosperity. He's my father. Fear not your father. It's your father's good pleasure to give you the king. He wants to heal your body. Why? Whatever you ask him, he's going to exceed that. Now to him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you can ask or think. Torah asked me for three, but I exceeded that, praise God, because of my love for him. And that's how our heavenly father, our daddy is. He wants to heal your children. He wants to cancel your debt. He wants to save everyone in your family. You're not bothering him. Oh, I don't want to bother God. There are a lot of people got the wrong image of God. It gives them pleasure. Same way it should give you pleasure. To bless your children. To help them in school. To buy them clothes. How much? He said, seek first the kingdom and all them other things. Your father will give to you. You got a father. You ain't like no Gentile. You're not an orphan. Praise God. So start acting like that. First thing, you got to change your thinking. You got to quit acting like an orphan, talking like an orphan, thinking like an orphan, like you're bothering God. You can't ask too much of him because I just said, whatever you ask, he's going to exceed super abundant beyond that. He's always thinking bigger than what you ask because he loves you. Praise God. So we're talking about developing faith in your heavenly father. What's your heavenly father in my name? That's what Jesus is trying to tell you. He'll give it you. I'm going away, but I'm going to leave my name. And whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, present it all, he'll give it you. He'll treat you just like he'll treat me. He'll answer your prayer just like he answered mine. You've been adopted in the same family. That's why we look at this prayer as we close and say, our Father which art in heaven, not my Father. When Jesus raised from the dead, praise God, and he got excited. He knew the new birth. He said, you go into your Father and my Father, my God. It wasn't just my Father. It's your Father now. That's your daddy. Start acting like it. Start talking like it. You can't break them. You can't ask too much or too big. That's why we're in this church, because I developed faith. And listen, faith ain't just about for you. It's about for the kingdom. I came to a place where I had to start praying and believing God for millions of dollars to build these buildings, to go on television. I didn't want this for me. I wanted to expand the gospel. And if I would have had a puny revelation of God, we'll still maybe be back in a little church, no cameras. You might not be live streaming tonight because I thought, God, I don't want to bother God, you know. No. No, he said, act. I will exceed whatever you act. You're thinking about a four-room house. I'm thinking about eight. I'm going to give you what you didn't ask for. I'm going to exceed. And not just barely exceed, I'm going to superabundantly exceed. Praise God. And once I understood that, whoo, I can see, man, let's build another building. You know, we built the first sanctuary. Let's build another building. Let's do a family life center. And I start using my faith that God will give us a treadmill. God has given us a basketball court. God has given us a track. God, I start writing the vision down like I was talking about on Sunday, putting it there, praise God. Why? Because every time it looked, I would go back to the vision, the planning, it kept me running, it kept me motivated. Why? That's faith in my Father. My daddy will do it, and he'll pay for it. Praise God. But we've had a negative image of God, or the wrong image of God, and it has hindered believers' faith. Tonight, I want you to rise up and start calling him daddy. Things that you think he won't do for you, I dare you to ask him. Jeremiah 33, verse 3 says, call upon me, and I'll show you great and mighty things that you don't even know about. God has reserved some stuff. We're afraid to ask. We think he's holding it back. Man, he didn't hold back Jesus. Why would he hold back your rent? Come on, stop it. Amen. So, God says, fear not. Your Father will provide for you. That's basically what he said. It's just Father's good place to give you the kingdom. I'll provide for you. What do you need tonight? Healing? Deliverance? What do you need? Not just for you, your kids. Well, it came to a place that wasn't even about me. My needs are met. It was about the kingdom. It was about other people's needs. It was about blessed, being blessed to be a blessing. And I began to, you know, my vision expanded because my revelation of God as a Father expanded. That God loves people. He wants people to be born again. He loves families. That's part of the covenant. I'll bless thee, and through thee, the families of the earth shall be blessed. So you start off with your personal stuff, but it don't stop there. You keep expanding because your Heavenly Father loves people. God so loved the world, not just you, not just High Point, not just North Carolina, not just the United States, not just Africa. God so loved the world. See, the Father, he's big. He's El Shaddai, the Almighty Breasted One. Before you was, I am. And once you get that revelation, the only way you're going to get it is by what I'm teaching now. Letting the Word of God wash your thinking. Wash your thinking. Change how you think about God. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Jesus Christ, who thought it not robbing to be equal with God. I ain't robbing God, taking nothing away from God to say that I'm in the God class. I know we ain't God. Ain't somebody preach that God, they're just stupid. But we are in the God class. We are in his image. We are in his likeness. We are in his family. Christopher is not me, but he's in my family. And everything I have, he have. Hallelujah. He inherited. He didn't have to do nothing. He had to be good and bad. Just by being born, Christopher did. He came into an inheritance. God wants you to walk in your inheritance. Not when you die and go to heaven, right now. Praise God. Now, So God is saying, fear not. So let me close and expand this a little bit more by saying, you know, well, look at little John, 1 John 5:14. The Gospel of St. John, and remember, this is the age of John, the same one, not the Gospel of little John, this is the age of John, but you need to read it. I want you to read the book of St. John again and take this teaching that I'm giving you and read it in the light of that, and you'll begin to see, wow, Jesus and Father had a powerful relationship together. And look what he says here, and we're talking about in prayer now. He says, and this is the confidence, verse 14, that we have in him who God, our Father, that we ask anything according to his word is his will, he hears us. See, your confidence grow. And then you go from believing to knowing, look how it elevates. And if we know, okay, now I know. I know you heard me. I prayed to my Father. Well, how can you know you're going to get your healing? How can you know the money going? Because I have confidence in my Father. You don't know him. So you need to get still, get in the word, and know God. You don't know him like I know him. This is the confidence I have. See, you can't base someone else's experience with God and base your life on him. But I prayed he didn't get this. I laid hands on the sick and they died. Well, you don't know the same God I know. You need to get in the word. That just tells me you don't know him. Because I got confidence in my Father. This is the confidence that if we he hear us, and if we know that he hears us, whatsoever we ask, we know. I know God going to cancel my debt. I know God, I receive my healing. We have the petition that we desire him. So you literally go from believing to knowing, which is another revelation, because now he's daddy. I know my daddy. Say, well, if you really know your daddy, and someone talking about, well, God made me, say, they call him God. God put this on me. Well, you know they don't know him because you know your daddy. You know, every time your father laid hands on someone, they got healed, not made sick. Every time God opened his hand, it was to provide. Something multiplied. So there are people, religious folks don't really know him. That's why you got to get in the word. So you go from believing to knowing. Now, this is the amplified version. He says, and this is the confidence, the assurance. How can you be sure you're going to get your healing? How can you be sure your money coming in? How can you be sure your kid ain't going to get shot when they're in school? How can, because I've pleaded about it, I've stood on the scripture. I know God. This is assurance, the privilege, the boldness, which we have in him. We are sure that if we ask anything, make any request according to his will, which is his word, in agreement with his own plan, he listens and he hears us. And since we positively know that he listens to us, well, I don't know, it don't feel like my prayer got in a higher than the ceiling. It don't have to get no higher than your nose. Ain't about what you felt. That's why people waiting on something in prayer, they waiting to hurt and jerk and shake and quake. No, I get down, I pray to the word in confidence. I don't care what I feel. I know he listens to me. He's my daddy. Whatever we ask, we know with settled, absolute knowledge that we have granted us our present possession. I like that. The request we made or hope we made of him. And now the key is this, present possession. The minute you pray, Mark 11:24, things that you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, I'm a tither, and I think I got seed in the ground. And I need a $500 grant for car payment coming up 2 weeks from now, and I believe I receive it. I ask it. I believe I receive it in Jesus' name. Well, I'm not waiting with it. As far as I'm concerned, the money's in the bank because I have it as my present possession. I believe I receive my healing when I pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank God I rebuke this sickness and these symptoms in my body. I command my fever to come down, the cold fever to go. And according to 1 Peter 2:24, it says, by stripes you will heal. I believe I receive my healing. I'm not the sick trying to get healed. I'm healed, protecting my health. And well, at that point, well, you don't look. It don't matter about what you look. It don't matter about what I feel. I believe I received it then. From that point on, my recovery has begun. Everything else is just a fight of faith. You have to be like Abraham. They don't own any city owned by. You can't wait on the symptoms to line up. You believe you receive as your present possession. So get on up, start talking and walking and acting like you're healed. Like the 10 lepers did. And as they went, Jesus said, show yourself to the priest. Nothing happened. They still had bones exposed, meat exposed. They still had all these. But he said, we're healed. And as they went, they believe they receive it as their present possession. In other words, faith without corresponding actions is dead. At some point, you're going to have to line your words up and your actions with what you say you believe. Start acting like you're out of debt. Start acting like your Heavenly Father's already blessed you. So develop confidence then in your prayer life to the Father. That's what that's about. Confidence. You're going to need that because there's going to be time precedence ain't going to be here. You got to develop confidence in your prayer life in the Father. You remember I was talking about Lazarus being raised from the dead over there in St. John? He said, Father, I thank thee. This is when everyone else said he was crazy. And could he raise Lazarus from the dead? God, I mean, he stinked by now. Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me and that you always hear me. Confidence. How much confidence do you have in your prayer life to your Heavenly Father? Look at St. John 16, verse 23 and 24. And in that day, what day when the Holy Spirit go away and like he said, I'll come to Father. And Jesus said, I got to go, but truly, truly. You know what barely, barely means? Jesus said, I ain't lying. Why he got to say I ain't lying? Because he's about to say something that's astounding. So I ain't lying to you. What I say to you, I say to you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father. Now at that point, it ain't about him. It's about the name. But it's about how much confidence, what revelation do you have of the Father? Fear not, little Father, your Father's good pleasure to give you your kingdom. It's your image of God that you ask in my name. He will give it you. And notice why. Watch what it says. He said, hitherto, cute word for up until now, you have asked nothing in my name. But ask, and you shall receive that your joy might be full. You can tell where someone believes they receive of the Father by their actions after they pray, their actions after they get up off their knees, their actions after they come out of the prayer closet. Praise God. Well, I just talked to my Father. Praise my joy is full. Hey, well, Lord have mercy. I don't know, man. Where are we going to get that? I thought you just prayed. I thought you just went in there and you believe you received from your Father. Where your joy at? See, joy is the evidence of real faith. Praise God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, faith, joy. Where's the joy at? I know you might not, the symptoms might still be in your body, but that's why he says, all that, count it all. James said, count it like it was joy, because you just prayed. Move and say you're healed, even though the prayer. I count it all joy like the money's already in the bank. You have it as your present possession. Now, these are the mechanics of faith that we miss. It's our actions. We pray and come out of the room more depressed than we were when your joy shall be full. He said, your Heavenly Father. Did you trust? Do you have faith in him? Well, it was granted. This is the confidence that we have in him. That is granted as our present possession. And like I said, I've seen people who... They just have a negative image of God. I was one of them before I got born again because I got it from preachers and going to church. I thought God was going to kill me, much less the daddy. Shoot, man, God, you don't play with God. Don't play with God. God will strike you down. God sits high and God looks low. You know what, boy, you don't play with God. Don't come in here playing. In other words, keep playing with the devil and go to hell. I don't know what that meant, but I know it wasn't good. And y'all have heard my class stuff. I ain't going to get it about standing at the judgment. You got to be tried. The songs they sung about God. Old sinner, you can't hide from God. Wherever you go, whatever you do, God got his eyes on you. Old sinner. And boy, I'm like, oh, God, everything. Wrong image. Songs. Atmosphere, teaching, wrong image. It was hard for me to have faith in a Heavenly Father because I thought God was after me. So I stayed away from church. And that's what the devil wants. He wants you to have, don't run to God, run from God. And that's what I was doing. I had a call on my life. Almost went to hell because of religious teaching, the wrong image. Until I got in the Word for myself. And the things I'm teaching you this evening, I began to learn these things. And it changed the image of my Heavenly Father. And I recognized He loved me and He had pleasure in my prosperity. He had pleasure in my well-being. Hallelujah, praise God. So, let's close with this. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew's Gospel chapter 6. And I trust that you're getting something. This is helping you. You know, I want to come in because you need to grow, because you're going to need God. Right at home tonight, you need God. You this live stream, you need Him. You need to pray right now. That's the only reason you ain't praying, because you had the wrong image. Well, why pray? Some of you don't pray to the Father simply because you're afraid of disappointment. Well, He won't hear me. What if you're doing that? I won't get my hopes up. See, now, what you mean hopes up? It's His pleasure. He's waiting on you. Jesus said so. So change your image. You can change things right now. When you think and change about God, your life will begin to change. Now, Matthew's Gospel chapter 6, as we close, and we're going to look at verses, we're still talking about the prayer life, your prayer life, and to your Father and with your Father. Let's start with verse 6. Matthew 6, verse 6. But thou, when you prayest, enter into the closet, and when thou shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father, which is in secret, shall reward thee openly. And when you pray, use not vain repetition. You ain't got to beg God, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, please, Daddy, give me a quarter, give me a nickel, please, Daddy, come on, Daddy, don't hit me, no. He said, do not use vain repetitions as heathens do, for they think they shall be heard from their much speaking. Be not like them, therefore. Be not like unto them. For you, your Father, know what things you have need of even before you ask. Someone say, well, why don't He give it? Because you have not, because you ask not. That's what I'm trying to teach you this. Praise God. Nothing automatically happens. Why don't you have a pizza from Pizza Hut tonight? You ain't asked for one. You ain't called Him for one. Now, He said, but after this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. I'll just stop it there. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we can know the will of God on earth by looking at heaven. If no one is in lack, there's no sick people in heaven, they're not going down, God don't want you to. You can know the will of God. Thy will be done on earth. That's how we bring the will of God. You and I do through our prayer life. Nothing is going to happen automatically. Your children are not going to change. No one is dying, going to hell. Kids ain't going to hell in heaven. That's the will of God for her. Praise God. Ain't no lack in heaven. Ain't no sickness and disease in heaven. That's the will of God for her. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How do? We bring the kingdom through our prayer life and our life of confession. Whatsoever you bind on earth is bound there. God's waiting on you to pray something down here. And He said, we'll move. And will give us this day our daily bread, whatever you need daily. Your Heavenly Father provides for you daily, not just monthly or you know, at the end of the month. Praise God. So the Father loads us with daily benefits and provisions. That's what I want you to see. Father loads us with daily benefits because each day presents a different need. Psalm 69:18 says this. It says, bless be the Lord who daily loaded us with, daily, give us this day daily. You might not heal in one day. You might need provision us day. You might need defense another day. You might need protection. But God daily loaded us with benefits, even the God of our salvation, Selah. Pause and calmly think about that. Look at this in the Amplified. It says, blessed be the Lord who bears our burden and carries us day by day, even when you're tired and weary. God says, when you got tired, it was me carrying you. I gave you strength for that day. Even God, who is our salvation, Selah, pause and come to think about that. And I want to leave this last statement with you. Go into the closet then. Shut the door. That's why you got to turn off the TV, turn off radio. Shut the door, brain noise, and pray to your Father. Say, He sees you in secret and rewards you openly. Once again, You just read this, Matthew 6, 6. When you pray, go into your most private room, close the door, pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sits in secret will reward you open. In other words, there's open rewards. And when you pray in secret, all of a sudden your children start changing, finances start changing, but you've got to begin to develop faith in him. You got to shut the door, close out the world, turn off the television, praise God, make God God, give him the time and the attention that he wants. And I'm telling you something, praise God. God says you have not because you ask not, and you ask to receive not because you ask amiss. He said it's always either method or motive. He said, I ain't holding it back for you. It's my good pleasure to give it to you. So start your prayer life. Get back in church. Get connected to the word of God. We look forward to seeing you here this Sunday. Amen. Come on, get in church. Live streaming is good, but we want to see you here. Praise God. Get in our 10:15, about there, a.m. worship, and we'll see you live at 11. Until next week, this is Pastor Ron Dennis, and I love you and God loves you. We'll pray for you as you continue to pray for us.